This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:49 a.m., you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana and Keith. Now, Touch and Go holds the unfortunate distinction of being the public piñata when it comes to the debate on monopolies in the economy. Case in point, the issue of Touch and Go's monopoly of the highway toll collection was raised during an open dialogue with the Prime Minister at the Youth Empowerment Fair on Sunday. In response, Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim said that the government will review the issue, commenting that while the company has been in operation for more than two decades, there hasn't been convincing development or progress in the system.
Currently, Touch and Go, the card, Touch and Go card is the only contactless payment option for toll payments and public transport. There has been long-standing dissatisfaction over the technical problems associated with using RFID tech and the inability to top up existing Touch and Go cards via the e-wallet. On top of this, the company more recently has come under the spotlight over the shortage of new generation NFC Touch and Go cards, as well as the confusion over its Visa prepaid card linked to the e-wallet, which couldn't be used for tolls and public transport.
Are these deficiencies in service delivery due to the supposed monopoly that Touch and Go holds? And what can the government realistically do to address this? For some thoughts on this, we speak to Alexander Wong, Managing Director and Co-Founder at Soya Chinchow. Alex, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us. Now, over the years, Touch and Go has expanded from a card for cashless toll payments to a digital wallet that provides multiple financial services to the public. Yet, the mention of Touch and Go tends to strike a nerve with people. What do you see as the crux of public dissatisfaction towards Touch and Go?
Well, Touch and Go has been around for over 20 years now. I think it has served us well as a unified payment system for highway tolls and public system. However, there have been a lot of complaints due to the lack of the stock of new cards. As we all know, Touch and Go card has a lifespan of 10 years. And after MCO, a lot of people found themselves with Touch and Go cards that have been expired and require a new replacement. And the latest craze right now is the enhanced Touch and Go card, which allows you to reload directly from your smartphone via NFC. It is a great product. However, it is so hard to get. The cards are even sold by scalpers for like 50 to 90 ringgit. The shortage of supply is a huge problem. And Touch and Go says that it's due to a chip shortage. And they said that they're ramping up production by 30% this year. So hopefully that could address the card issue. And another issue is the complaints about getting refunds, which can take weeks. The government, through the Domestic Trade and Cost of Living Ministry, has raised a complaint with Touch and Go about these issues, and they are instructed to issue reminders to customers about potentially expiring cards and also to make refunds quicker and easier for the public.
Alex, how much of this do you think goes to the fact that Touch and Go is a monopoly and that there is some sort of complacency at the company that, you know, we don't have to do very much, people will still have to rely on us?
I think complacency, I think that's the right way to put it, because, you know, there's a lot of room for improvement for years. Like, we have, for example, we've seen in other countries which also use a single unified payment in a stored value format. We've seen more innovation, like the ability to top up phones. But we've only seen these new innovations lately in the past 2 years. So I'm pretty sure that, you know, there could have been more improvements before this whole thing erupted.
And I think we were talking earlier about how the ire towards Touch and Go is related to toll payment mechanisms. I mean, at the launch of the RFID, I think especially raises a lot of hairs along people. I mean, does Touch and Go shoulder the entire blame for these technical problems?
I would say, honestly, it's not entirely on Touch and Go. For RFID, there are a lot of factors. At the moment, we're not seeing the full protection of RFID. I know people make a lot of joke about, you know, people reversing the toll booth, but RFID is seen as an enabler for multi-lane free flow, where there'll be no more physical toll plane lazars, no more barriers, similar to what we've seen in Singapore and Australia. The reason why our RFID experience in Malaysia is half-baked because we are still maintaining legacy systems like Touch and Go and Smart Tag. Once there are no more barriers, tolling will be a breeze. And in fact, Malaysia aims to implement a multi-lane free flow by 2025, as announced during the previous administration. But since the implementation of RFID, we are not seeing a clear transition yet. All highways are regulated by the Malaysian Highway Authority, LLM, and they should share more data about RFID adoption. And we should be starting to see gradual more lanes being added to the highway toll plazas. Until today, there are several toll plazas with just one RFID lane. And if you want to make the transition, we should see more by now. I believe highway operators just want a smoother experience for the consumers, and they're eager to support multi-lane free flow as possible. And another thing that's critically required is the legal framework. Even if you try to implement a simple single-lane free flow by removing the barrier just for the RFID lane, the huge problem will be leakages. Not everyone will have RFID. not all RFID users will have sufficient balance in accounts. So let's say if a person passed through the toll we are paying, how will the highway concessionaires collect the debt? In other countries, vehicle owners are given a grace period to pay the tolls. If they fail, they'll be issued a penalty. If that doesn't work, legal action can be taken against them. And even right now, if you look at the police, they are even struggling to get people to settle their summons. That's why we keep seeing discount promotions. And I think recently there have been viral photos on Twitter where a highway operator had to literally stop the toll evader at the booth just to get them to settle outstanding tolls. So this needs to be resolved through the legal framework before the barriers can be removed. And for multi-lane free flow to be implemented, highway operators need to be assured that these collection issues are resolved. And the question is, will they be compensated if the leakages occur during MLRF is introduced? And another key for multi-lane free flow is the use of the automated number plate recognition system, which is used to record vehicles by the number plate. This is where the enforcement on number plates need to be done better. We're seeing vehicles with fancy plates, and if us humans can't read the number, it'd be hard to record any potential toll evaders, and that will be a problem. And then lastly would be the open payment options. Previously, Plus Highway implemented their own Plus RFID as a trial, which is linked directly to your credit and debit card. Plus eventually dropped their system in favor of Touch & Go RFID after CIMB and Touch & Go announced that they're going to take legal action against them for violating a term which is signed 2 decades ago. And during that time in 2019, CIMB and Touch & Go announced that they will enable open payment system so consumers can link their RFID tags to other digital payments like their bank account, credit debit accounts, or other e-wallets. That was 2019, and we haven't heard anything about that today. So all these problems which I mentioned needs to be addressed not just by one party, but also the highway authority under the Ministry of Works, but also the Transport Ministry and the Finance Minister as well.
Alex, from a fintech development perspective, how has the monopoly of Touch & Go impacted consumers?
Well, I think first thing we need to make clear that Touch & Go, the company that's responsible for the cards, and Touch & Go e-wallet are two separate entities. Yeah. Touch & Go Digital, which handles the e-wallet business, is a joint venture of Touch & Go with several other investors, which also includes Ant Financial. And if you look at the e-wallet space, Touch & Go is not a monopoly. There's a lot of players out there. But I would say that they are quite a dominant player because they have a wider offering compared to the rest. Besides QR payments, Touch & Go e-wallet also offers investment products, personal loan, insurance. And recently, they also introduced an e-wallet linked physical Visa prepaid card, which I think is great to add more versatility to their offering.
What do you make, Alex, of announcements by the government overnight? I think over the past few days, we've seen several top leaders of the government make announcements that they'll be looking into Touch & Go, looking to revamp the or take away the monopoly that they have at toll collections, at least, and really expanding open payment for public transport and toll payments. I mean, do you see that there's political will to push these kind of changes through?
Well, I'm actually quite hopeful that this will pass through because there have been talks about open payment systems since 2019, as announced by Touch & Go and CIMB. But I think there's lacking of push and consistency for the government. But under the recent announcement by the Transport Minister, I think I'm hopeful. It's great that we have additional payment systems because we've seen that in various metro systems in London Underground and also New York subway system. At the end of the day, it's a good move to add more payment options as the objective is to make payments more seamless and frictionless for our users.
All right, Alex, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Alexander Wong, Managing Editor and Co-Founder at Soya Qinqiao, talking to us about some of the ways in which Touch & Go has created public dissatisfaction, but also pointing out the kinds of technology innovations that are available and how we can include that in our system to make service delivery a lot more seamless.
I'm kind of glad that he also clarified the Touch & Go e-wallet and Touch & Go cards. They're two different entities. And I have to say, personally, I've been using the Touch & Go e-wallet and that really is quite seamless. But again, he did point out the fact that Touch & Go e-wallet, the e-wallet in space, that's a really competitive space to be in. So maybe that's why they have to buck up in that space. Whereas with the monopoly, they don't really have to be bothered so much.
Yeah, I guess if you want to look at other countries as well, I think, Singapore EasyLink is kind of the main service provider there in terms of transport payments. I think there's the EasyCard in Taiwan. So, I guess you can ask questions, how come they can provide service that customers are happy with compared to what's here. But I'm sure we'll be continuing this conversation for many moons ahead. It is 7:59 in the morning. We're heading into the 8 a.m. news bulletin. And then after that, on the breakfast grill, I will be speaking to YB Ramkarpal Singh, Deputy Minister in the Prime Minister's Department. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.